Can see this. Good morning. I'm Martin Bligh from RAL Lab near Oxford. So this is a update on what we've been up to at RAL in the last 6 months or so since Berkeley. That's the overview of what's going on, what I'm going to talk about, the usual rush through of things. So coming up is hardware. We've got some 24,000 cores running at the moment. The new hardware for this year is 1,900 new cores, roughly 19.6 kilohertz spec, with version 4 E5 processors, Dell CloudEdge systems. They all fit in a rack. There's 48 individual systems in 2U, 4 in a box servers, Dell CloudEdge. The storage, we've got 16.5 petabytes in Castor and roughly 13.5 petabytes raw for Ceph. That translates to about 9 petabytes of usable storage. This year we bought roughly 4.9 petabytes of configured storage or configurable storage for Ceph. And this is a departure from our normal SATA in a box model. We've now got some servers with 2 arrays, each connected by SAS to those. They're Dell systems. Speak to me privately about why we've got Dell stuff this year. The tape system, we've got a 10K slot tape library, as previously announced. Still using it, 50 petabytes in T10KD tapes. We've migrated all the Tier 1 data to LHC data to T10KD now. 600 tapes from LHCB was the last migration, and that's about 3 petabytes with absolutely no errors, which astounded us to a certain extent. It's the first time we've done a data migration and not had any errors on the tapes at all. So networking, outside link for the OPN to CERN will be increased to 30 gigabits a second. It hasn't happened quite yet, but the powers that be are working on it. 210s will go one route, 110 will go the other route, and we'll all operate them in parallel. For the LAN, that's internal to us. For the Tier 1 itself, we've got a new departure for us, Mellanox switches coming in now. We've got SN2100s and 2700s. The latest batches have got Cumulus Linux on them, and again, that's a new departure for us too. They will be mostly used in the cloud facilities because we need VXLAN for various activities to do with that, and I have yet to get my head around all that yet. IPv6, finally, we've got IPv6 within the Tier 1 network at RAL. It's all over the RAL network as well, but a bit limited at the moment for them, but for us it's fully functional. We've agreed our own naming scheme, how we will address the sort out the IP addresses for the systems, and James Adams, my colleague, he's here somewhere probably, he's at the back lurking. We'll give a talk on all of that sometime later this week, later today, I think. Is he nodding? No. So on to our services. As I said, 24,000 cores, augmented by another roughly 2K cores later this year. Around 50% of the farm has now been migrated to SL7, and we're using HD Condor Docker Universe to run the jobs in containers, more of which Ian and others, mainly Andrew Lahief, have been investigating use of Kubernetes to provide portability for on-premises resources and multiple public clouds, and Ian will give a talk on behalf of Andrew sometime later in the week. As mentioned previously in our reports, we've been using HAProxy and KeepAliveD load balancers for over a year now. FDS3 has been running on that very successfully. Don't think we've had a service down due to the FDS system itself for some time. And other services now running include the BDIs, DynaFed and Argus, and we'll continue to migrate stuff to behind this sort of system over time. Monitoring, we've still got ganglia, but it's slowly fading away. Instead, we're moving to Telegraph for metrics, InfluxDB and Grafana, as most of a lot of other people are, and pretty much everything is or will be using it in the future. Moving on to the storage elements, Castor was upgraded to that version in January. Some of the 14 generation disk servers, which we did intend to be used for Ceph, but were and formed part of the Ceph pilot projects, were put into Castor because they are just about suited for Castor work. They were hybrids rather than standard Ceph or standard Castor. We're continuing to poke LHC production data into Castor, as you would expect, and we're going to upgrade to 2.1.16 and a bit shortly, next week we hope. There was an upgrade of all of the SRMs to that version. We had to roll it back for LHCb because of some fairly severe performance problems, which has been traced to a bug somewhere in the Castor stager system, which is well known and will be alleviated by the Castor upgrade next week, we hope. And we're currently storing about 130 terabytes a day for the WLCG. So notes on our tape plans. Well, we're currently using a T10KD drives in a what was a Storage Tech SL8500 library. We are given to understand that the support for the drive technology and the libraries is unclear. Oracle have been somewhat tight-lipped on this, although if you ask the right people, they'll tell you horror stories. Our plan did include T10KE with the T2 and T3 media, and we can operate without that out to 2020, but at some point we'll have to think again. We're waiting for Oracle announcements, if any, and we don't want to have to scrap the robots, but there we go. And then there's the Castor issue. What do we do about the Castor product? Castor's got a limited lifetime. We will look at CTA, HBSS, and other usual suspects for these sorts of things, but we have to decide what we're going to do, whether we're going to replace it. We can't carry on with it. But a more positive note about storage, Ceph, our Ceph cluster is now in production. We call it Echo. It's accepting production data from the LHCBOs. And Atlas have managed to put petabyte of data on it, which is good. Their input's via grid FTP. And the batch farm talks to it via XRootD, and that all works quite well. We've got 7.1 petabytes of the WLCG pledge will be actually on the Echo system this year. And my colleague Tom, who's probably lurking somewhere, wave Tom, he's over there somewhere, he's going to give a talk all about Echo and the trials and tribulations of getting it where we've got it to later in the week. And that's the last few weeks of data for the capacity in use. And you can see that's the petabyte up in the corner there from Atlas. The other VOs have done pretty much nothing. So infrastructure, we moved into our data center in 2009. We had two originally, two 750 kilowatt chillers. They were augmented by two more of roughly the same capacity but without the free cooling a year or so later. The original pair in our end of life, one unit had half its capacity knocked out by component failure, which was due to lack of maintenance. We don't want to talk about that. However, under the laboratory spend to save initiatives, spend money to save in the future, we've got two new 1 megawatt chillers with free cooling. They're more efficient than the old ones, more capacity. They're being replaced and commissioned now. The new units are actually in operation, and we've knocked 0.3 off the PUE, which is good. It's nice and cool outside in Britain at the moment, so we get a big advantage from the free cooling. And there's going to be a new control system sequencer, they call it, being installed as this week goes ahead. And that will control all four chillers and hopefully pull another 60 kilowatts off the usage and bring the PUE down even further. And there's a nice little graph of the effect of the two new chillers, the first one coming in, the first dump down, and then the next one coming in about 10 days ago, I think. We're quite happy about that. So miscellaneous bits and pieces. We've got some new hardware for the Stratum Zero CVMFS service. Catalin, not sure whether he's actually here yet, but he's coming. And he will give a talk on our CVMFS stuff later in the week. We, as a result of our divisional rearrangements within Scientific Computing at RAL, have we, the Fabric team, and various others have joined with the group of people who used to run the other bits of hardware around the data center, and there's a big VMware installation there. So we're looking very seriously at migrating from Hyper-V to VMware for our high availability cluster VM system provision, and this is prodded along by having a few problems with the hypervisors crashing under Hyper-V. We're not sure why that's happening at the moment, but very occasionally one goes over and causes us some grief. The databases, this is the Oracle databases, are still running under Red Hat 5. There's an upgrade plan for that, but to carry on running them under Red Hat 5, we had to go for long-term support and remove the SMLib layer. So that's been done, and during this year, the intention is to put them on new hardware and get rid of Red Hat 5 and go to Red Hat 6 or probably Red Hat 7 at this point. There was a big effort to patch that CVE. I can't remember what its proper name is, but that was one of the big ones that came out somewhere just before Christmas, and also retiring all our SL5 systems because it's game over for SL5 now. That's pretty much what the service owners have been doing. And then something for the site Windows systems, the SDFC, who's our governing body, as it were, that we sit under, have been directed by our parent government department to remove admin privileges from all federal IDs, all general user accounts, all that sort of stuff in the Windows domains. So we all now have separate federal accounts with admin privileges, and we're not supposed to log on to those unless we want to do things. It's a way of trying to keep control of antivirus and all that sort of stuff, and whether it'll work or not, not for me to say. But that's what they've done, and it's a right pain. So, questions? And that picture is them craning one of the new chillers in, straight over the top of the old ones, which is not part of what the lifting plan was, because if they dropped it, they'd take out the entire cooling infrastructure. But they didn't drop it, which was good. So, questions? Nobody wants to ask me a question. They all want coffee.
I have a question. Stay here. Oh, dear. you're talking about the Spend to Save initiative.
Yes.
Do you have an idea how much time you have before returning from the investment on this?
I could find out for this particular case what the numbers we put in were, but we had to apply against, well, I suspect it's four or five years. Okay. To a certain extent, all of these things depend on the price of electricity.
Yeah,
I mean, 4 or 5 years would be a good move. I mean, they only last 2009. The two we took out were end of life, 8 years. So we would expect these to last five to 8 years, maybe 10 years.
This is stuff that lasts for 10 years,
yeah.
10, 20 years.
So if you don't get a return on investment in that sort of time, then so that's the sort of case that would have been made. But it's pulling the PUE down is the thing. People look at the PUE in our country anyway. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thank again, Martin.